Welcome to the Weight Loss for Healthcare Providers podcast with Delaine MD, the podcast for healthcare professionals struggling to lose weight. If you are a physician, nurse, or other clinician looking to permanently shed those pounds, gain control, stop emotional eating, and live a fuller, more authentic, and happier life, Dr. Delaine Vaughn offers sustainable strategies and the support you need to overcome the challenges that undermine permanent weight loss.
Hey there, welcome back to the podcast. I hope you're having a great week. I hope everything is going wonderfully for you. We are recording this before I leave for vacation. So I'm recording this a little bit ahead of time when I normally do. But I am certainly looking forward to getting out on vacation, and a Facebook Live will be coming to you from the cabin in Arkansas that we rent to play over our vacation. So we go down to Arkansas and we do rock climbing and we go swimming in a lake and hang out and relax. So the Facebook Live that will come at you between July 20th and July 26th will be from Arkansas. So that should be exciting. So today I want to continue with the discussion regarding my philosophy on eating. So last week, that was what the podcast was about, my philosophy on what we should be eating. If you remember, I take a very natural approach to what we should or should not be eating. I very much believe in the philosophy that we should be eating the food the way the earth makes it for us. I believe that we are animals just like every other animal on the earth. And I believe that we don't see squirrels trying to alter their food. We don't see deer trying to alter their food. But we are the one animal on the earth that tries to alter the food that the earth makes for us. So my basic philosophy is if you can find it in the earth somewhere naturally occurring on the earth somewhere, it's probably okay to eat. So those are things like fruits and vegetables, nuts, grains, potatoes. Some people will ask me, well, what about meat? And if you remember back, I've given the example of a chicken. You can point out where a chicken leg, where a thigh, where a breast comes from on a chicken, but you can't point out where a chicken nugget comes from. That's not natural food that our human bodies are meant to eat. Other questions that people come to me with are, what about dairy? So my take on dairy is that this is kind of a gray area, right? So sometimes dairy is probably okay. It depends on how you handle it. Some human beings do not handle it well. If you think about it, we are the only animal on the planet that are drinking other mammals' milk. I'm going to say that again. We are the only animal on the planet that is drinking other mammals' milk. So you don't see horses going and using goat milk to feed their families. You don't see squirrels running and getting rabbit milk to feed their families. This is something unique to the human being, the human species, the human animal. So is it natural? Not necessarily, but we are omnivorous, so maybe it's falls into some gray zone between eating meat and eating vegetables, right? I don't know. My suggestion to you is if you are eating a lot of dairy and you're gaining weight, you probably need to stop. Or if you're eating a lot of dairy and you find that it makes your stomach upset, you probably also need to stop. We don't usually have the enzyme to break down lactose into our adult lives. So it's not uncommon for people to be what we call lactose intolerant. So that's my take on dairy. Take it or leave it. Today, we're going to go a step farther. And we're going to talk about when we should eat. So many of you may have heard me talk in the past on Facebook Lives or in previous podcasts about intermittent fasting. And I will tell you today the science behind why intermittent fasting works. So again, if you think back 10,000s of years ago, and what was our human body, animal body doing at that time? So 10,000 years ago, there was not food on every single corner. There was not food available to us all of the time. Certainly, there were not 1,000-plus calorie meals available to us on every corner. So when you think about how our human body is meant to eat, we should be probably following some semblance of what was going on 10,000 years ago, right? So we were not really meant to eat all day long. We were really not meant to eat from the moment we got up in the morning until the moment we went to bed. Our bodies physiologically are not substantially different today than they were 10,000 years ago. So, we probably are meant to eat more like what it was 10,000 years ago. That means that there was not food available to us all the time, so we didn't eat all the time. So that is my philosophy behind intermittent fasting. The science behind intermittent fasting has to do with insulin. So you probably have all heard me talk about how insulin's role in our body is to store up energy. We know insulin is used by diabetics to lower their blood sugars. It pulls sugar out of the blood and it stores it. What does it do with that? Insulin opens up the cells of our muscles so that we can store or use that glucose energy in our muscles if we need it. But if our muscles are not using or needing, requiring energy at that time, then our muscles won't store that energy. We go to our liver and insulin opens up the cells of the liver so that the liver can store the energy. But the liver can only store a certain amount of energy. Eventually, it gets full. When the liver gets full of energy, and sometimes even too full, and that's a whole another discussion about a disease that we call fatty liver. When the liver gets too full of energy, then our body starts making new fat. It makes new fat, and it makes it unlimitedly. And that's run by the role of insulin, right? That is part of the role of what insulin does in our body. It makes new fat and it makes it unlimitedly. So if you are constantly stimulating your insulin production, and I guess the question really is, how do we stimulate insulin production? We stimulate insulin production by our pancreas when we eat. All of the macronutrients except alcohol stimulate insulin production. So even fat, although it stimulates insulin much less than things like carbohydrates, but even fat will stimulate insulin. In the three macronutrients, you have fat, you have protein, and you have carbohydrates. All foods fall into those categories. Some, of course, there's always this alcohol category, and I still am on the fence as to whether I feel like alcohol, which is technically a poison, is truly a macronutrient for the human animal. But either way, we're going to talk about the three major ones, fat, protein, and carbohydrates. Fat has the least amount of insulin stimulation when it's consumed. Protein has a moderate amount. And of course, carbohydrates has a large amount of insulin production when we consume that macronutrient. So if you want to decrease the amount of insulin that you're consuming, you eat less carbohydrates and you eat more proteins and fats. So say you eat at 6 a.m. in the morning and your insulin level rises, and say it falls by 9 or 10 in the morning, and then say you eat your midday snack at 10 or 10:30, so you rise back up, and then you have lunch at noon or 1, and it rises back up maybe by 3:30 or 4, your insulin level has dropped off. And then say you eat dinner at 6:30 and you rise your insulin level again. And then by 8:30 or 9, it's dropped off again, okay? You have very few hours during that period where your insulin level has dropped low enough that your body starts to tap into the stored energy. And the science behind when the body actually starts to tap into that stored energy is complicated and has many variables to it. So I'm not going to get into that here. The point I want you to see is that if you spread these meals out multiple times during the day, from the moment you wake up in the morning until the late into the evening, you have very few hours after burning the insulin off that you're actually going to be able to tap into the stored energy that you already have stored on your body. Intermittent fasting is the answer to all this, right? I guess I feel like it's the answer to all this. Intermittent fasting allows your body to drop that insulin level down very low for an extended period of time, which allows your body to tap into its stored energy, its fat stores, so that you can burn that fat off. And again, this goes back to how we were made as human animals. Some people will say, no, you have to eat regularly. We'll lose our metabolism. Our metabolism will drop off. That's one thing that I hear a lot. Our metabolism will drop off unless we eat six small meals a day. What I want to offer to you is if your metabolism dropped off in a detrimental way, a way to where you could no longer go out and find food, we would have never become the dominant species on the planet, right? If we would have dropped our metabolism so much that we were just lethargically, sluggishly laying around, we would have never been able to go out and hunt and gather more food or kill a buffalo or some other animal for food, right? So our metabolism may drop down, but it is not detrimental to our health, and it's certainly not detrimental to our fat burning. So that's one thing that I hear. And then the other thing, you know, people are constantly like, no, we've got to eat all the time. We've got to eat all the time. And that just does not meet with the way the science of our bodies, the way we were meant to be 10,000 years ago. So I would offer to you that, one, we are all intermittently fasting, right? When you go to sleep at night and you wake up in the morning, you cannot consume food at night. So you're already fasting. Unless you're on a tube feed at night consuming food, you're already doing it. You're already doing intermittent fasting. And again, we've already talked about this, right? You may have heard me say this in previous podcasts. The majority of your fat burning occurs actually while you're asleep at night. And why that is because you allow that insulin level to drop very low and you start tapping into your energy stores. So that's the first thing. One, we're already doing it. People lose their marbles and they're like, no, this isn't natural. This isn't healthy. This is horrible. No, you're already doing it, first off. Second off, if it was not natural, if it was not how our bodies were meant to do it, we would have never became the dominant species on the planet. If you think about it, even 500 to 1,000 years ago, right? Even way back then, this is how our bodies were meant to do it. To make a 1,000-calorie meal for all of a family took a colossal effort 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago, right? There was not bread always available. The reason there wasn't bread always available is because the effort it took to was so large that they could not have it always available. If you think even back farther, before we were in village living, before we were in more modern ages, back when we were tribal living, back when we were doing hunting and gathering, we were not hunting and killing a buffalo every single day. Our men would go out, they would hunt a buffalo, they would kill a buffalo, they would bring it home, they would dress it and prepare it for a meal. In the meantime, our women would go out and they would hunt and forage, or I guess they would forage, they wouldn't hunt vegetables, they would forage fruits. They may bring in wheat, they would grind that wheat up, they would make flour from that wheat, stone ground flour. They may make breads, flat breads, whatever it was that they had the ability to make. I don't know how the ancestors came to know about yeast and that would cause rising of our breads. But either way, they would all put an effort into making a large meal. And then we would feast on that large meal for a number of days. During that time, our insulin levels rose up. Our bodies stored up tons of energy. And when that food was gone, we were hungry for a number of days and maybe even weeks. During those hungry periods, maybe there were times where you foraged vegetables or fruits, but there were no large meals, right? Your body allowed that insulin level to drop very low. When that insulin level was low, our bodies would tap into our stored fats. And we would use that energy so that we did not starve to death and die. That is how our human bodies are meant to do it. Okay? So this is my philosophy on when we should eat. We should eat the way our human bodies were created to eat. And that means we are not consuming food all day long from the moment we get up to the moment we go to bed. So what does intermittent fasting look like? Intermittent fasting can look like anything from a window of eating that's 2 hours to a window of eating that's 8 hours to 12 hours maybe. And what that window of eating means is that's the time period in your day where you eat and the rest of the time you don't eat. Now, most people are not going to get the results they want if they're eating for 12 hours straight a day. So if your eating window is 12 hours, you're probably not going to be able to eat and graze on food the entire 12 hours, right? You may have to have discrete eating meals, discrete meals within that 12 hours, right? Because again, you know, if you eat between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., you spike that insulin, it burns off by 9:30, and then you don't eat again until 1 or 2. Well, that gives you 4 or 5 hours where your insulin's low and you can burn some of your stored fat. If you're eating multiple snacks between when you're done eating at 6 and when you eat lunch at 1 or 2, you're not going to let that insulin level drop off very low so that you can burn off your stored fats. Same thing is true if you eat dinner at or lunch at 1 or 2. Your insulin level spikes. By 4 or 4:30, that insulin level has dropped down. If you're not eating dinner again until 5 or 5:30, you have a couple hours there where your insulin level is very low and you can burn off that stored energy. Then you eat at 6 p.m. and your insulin level spikes. By 9:30, it's dropped down. You're able to sit and burn off stored energy the entire time you're asleep between 10 o'clock at night and 6 o'clock in the morning. Some people find that they need a longer period of time, so they do shorter eating windows. Maybe they eat for 8 hours, so they start eating around 10 a.m. and they stop eating around 6 p.m. Again, the same thing though. You have discrete meals. You're not grazing for those 8 hours. Some people do 6-hour eating windows. Some people do 2-hour eating windows. It just depends on how you want to reach your goals and how hungry you feel. So all of these things are reasonable, and you just need to figure out what you want to do. Recognizing, though, we tell ourselves a story that this is horrible and natural and awful, and nobody should live like this, and that's just baloney. That's exactly how our bodies were made to live. So before you go telling yourself that story that doesn't really serve your goals, make sure you really think that through. And then lastly, I will offer that we have long-term fasting regimens. People will fast for weeks. I think if I've discussed this on previous podcasts and Facebook Lives, that there's a medically documented case from like the 1960s where some gentleman in some other country that I can't remember fasted for like a year and 20 some odd days. Obviously, that's an extreme. I'm not promoting that. But certainly, I do think it's interesting that he did not die from this, right? Everybody thinks that we will die without eating all the time. Now, this gentleman had, he was overweight, and that's why he was fasting. He was frustrated with not having any success in weight loss. And so he decided that he was going to fast. And in fact, his doctors recommended that that was probably a bad idea. And they followed him very closely for like the first 3 or 4 weeks, I think, in the hospital. And they took labs all the time and wanted to make sure that he was doing okay. And when they found out that he was totally doing fine, they decided to send him home and he could stay at home and they could monitor him. They monitored him closely, short of some electrolyte abnormalities early on. This gentleman did very well, didn't have any problems. He fasted for, like I said, I want to say it was a year and 20 some odd days. And he dropped like 130 or 140 pounds, and he maintained within 20 pounds that weight loss for the rest of his life. So you can do extreme fasting. Again, I'm not promoting that. Some people will do long-term fasting a couple days here, a week there. Some people will even do a month. I'm not saying that anybody needs to do any of those things. I am saying that you need to eat like your human body was meant to eat. And that means that you are not consuming food all day long. That is my philosophy on it. How aggressive, how extreme you want to get with that is really going to be how ambitious you are and what your goals are. So that's my 10 cents on the fasting. You know, the question of whether it's truly necessary. I think a lot of people get a lot of really great success in weight loss just by cutting out junk food. Just by cutting out grazing on food all day long. And that alone kind of builds intermittent fasting, right? If you're not grazing on food from 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., you're probably going to lose weight, right? If you're not eating M&Ms and ho-hos and chips and pizza from 6 a.m. in the morning till 9 p.m. at night, you're probably going to lose weight. Do you need to be strict on an intermittent fasting window? Not necessarily. I would start with the low-hanging fruit, as we call it, and do the things that you're willing to do. Cut out the sodas that you're drinking all day long. When we're talking about this intermittent fasting, I want to remind you, the things that you drink stay in your system for a very long time. It takes you hours to drink that drink, right? So if you're drinking a 32-ounce soda from the gas station, that is stimulating your insulin for the entire time you're drinking it. If you have it there for an hour and a half, you've given high-dose carbohydrates, simple carbohydrates, which release tons of insulin into your system for an hour and a half. And then it takes 3 hours, 2 or 3 hours to burn that off. Don't worry if you're going back for another soda in that 3 to 5 hour period. You just start the process all over again. If you're drinking sodas throughout the day, just a steady stream into your system, you are constantly releasing insulin. You never give your body the opportunity to drop your insulin level down so you can burn your stored energy. Lastly, I want to point out that artificial sweeteners, now there is some debate on this, that artificial sweeteners, so your Diet Cokes, your Diet Pepsis, your Crystal Lights, all of those things that you're drinking all day long will stimulate your insulin. So you need to be aware, you know, if you're trying to do the best you can and working on intermittent fasting and you're not getting the success that you want from it, but you're drinking Diet Coke all day long, you may need to cut those out and see what happens then. So that is my spiel on when to eat, my philosophy on when to eat. Try it out. I certainly recommend intermittent fasting. Not only do I feel good when I do it, but it's definitely gotten my body to a point that it's what we call fat adapted. It taps in very easily to my stored energy. My body no longer drives these hunger signals to tell me that I'm hungry for simple carbohydrates that are easy to get energy fixes from, because my body just knows that that's not how we roll. Go ahead and tap into that stored energy. That's what it's there for. If you have any questions, if you have any, you've tried some of these, the strategy out and you get stuck on something or find that you're hung up on something, send me a message. I'm happy to answer any questions to help you out in any way I can. But other than that, that's all I've got for you guys this week. You guys have a good week. I'm going to finish out my vacation and I will talk to you guys again next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Delane MD Weight Loss for Healthcare Providers podcast with Dr. Delane Vaughn. To learn more about life and weight coaching with Dr. Delane Vaughn, visit www.delanemd.com. Scheiße, wo ist mein